Lecture topic, Justice and Peace.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: والذي نفس محمد بيده، لو كانت فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت لقطعت يدها، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, the challenges and the difficulties that stare at the Muslim Ummah on the global level is not hidden from any person. And perhaps you heard before me, and I guess you will continue hearing after me as well, Muslims have been victimized, Muslims have been harassed, and the list can continue. But in my humble opinion, if we may sum up and give a summary and a gist of the difficulties that stare at the Muslim Ummah, in essence, it is of two types. One is the incorrect Islamic image which has been broadcasted and promoted via the media. And the Muslim Ummah has made this the greatest area of focus, to undo the stereotype negative perception that people have regarding Islam. This is the first area of concern that we are facing. People are painting a nasty image of Islam. But I swear by Allah, this is not the greatest focus, simply because I will explain. The second area, which unfortunately we've become oblivious about, we've become unmindful about, and it demands our immediate attention, and that is the incorrect Islamic image which has been reflected by the so-called Muslim. And until and unless we will not conquer this year, by virtue of our action, we will not able to counter the media regardless of the platforms we enjoy. We ideally interpret the hostility of the media by saying that they are biased against the Muslims. But let us reflect for a moment and do some soul searching. We will realize that unfortunately, it is much of our actions that have contributed to the negative perception against Islam. We can categorically state that Islam is a religion of peace and justice. Unfortunately, we cannot categorically state that the Muslims of today are peaceful and just. If somebody wants to argue with us that is Islam a religion of justice, of peace, we will take him and we will silence him, inshallah. We have the teachings. In fact, such justice Islam advocates, that Islam did not spare the opportunity of praising people from other faiths. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. Allah says, amongst the people of the book, be they Christians or Jews, some of them are so honest and so truthful that if you have to leave your entire treasure with them, they are so honest, they will return it to you without stealing anything from it. Now, is this not the justice of Islam, that it acknowledges the virtue and the excellence of others? لَيْسُ سَوَاءَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. Islam does not paint them with one brush. The Quran says, لَيْسُ سَوَاءَ. They are not on one level. Some of them are like this. They spend the night in Allah's ibadat. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانًا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Some of them amongst the people of the book are qissisin, which means they are scholars. وَرُهْبَانَ, they are monks. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ, and they don't show pride when it comes to deen. So this is the excellence of Islam. This is the honesty. Categorically we can prove Islam is a religion of peace and justice. Islam advocates peace on all times. However, the same cannot be said right about the Muslims. Someone said, travel in the Middle East, you will see Muslims, but you won't see Islam. You will see Muslims, but you will not see Islam. So what does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? The ayat kareema that I recited before you, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. And as I mentioned, that this negative perception and this incorrect image and these nasty titles, we've made this the focus today. 2 days ago, I got back from a conference in Canada, and the theme of the conference was Canadian Muslims shape a better society. Canadian Muslims shape a better society. And wherever we are going, this is the slogans and this is the effort to undo this negative perception that people portray towards Islam. Now, if we look at this, we look at the history of Islam, we will find that the vocabulary has been changing. However, nasty titles have been attached against the Muslims from the beginning of time. So today the terminology is fundamentalist and it is extremist. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was baliftarahu bal huwa sha'ir. That no, he's a liar, he's a fabricator, he's a magician, he's a sahir, he is majnoon. Those were the terminologies. Today the terminology is different. Then when they were asked, those who were convinced on the beauty of Islam, when they were asked, ماذا أنزل ربكم? Tell me more regarding Islam. قالوا أساطير الأولين. They said, no, don't even listen to this man. Don't even dare listen to him. He only carries ancient tales. So this negative image against Islam was from the very beginning of time. In fact, it was to such extremes that Dhimad radiallahu anhu says, when I came to Makkah, I heard such evil things against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I was fully convinced that this man is literally sick. So I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I said, listen, I just come to sympathize with you. Sorry to hear that you're such an evil man. I believe you're a liar. I believe you're an imposter. I believe you're a soothsayer. In other words, he had become a victim to the propaganda. Today, of course, they have modern technology, so at one button they can broadcast it to millions across the globe. In those days, it was a small scale, but it was operating on the same pattern. This is not the major area of concern. So he literally comes to Nabi alayhi salam. He says, I'm sorry to hear that you are so sick, and Allah has cured, the Almighty has cured many people at my hands. If you want, I will cure you. Nabi alayhi salam didn't argue and said, no, I'm not a liar and I'm not an imposter, and who said this here? This is propaganda. Nabi alayhi salam said, are you over what you have to say? He said, I'm over. Nabi alayhi salam says, okay, I heard you, now you listen to me. Alhamdulillah, ahmaduhu, wa astaghinuhu, wa astaghfiruhu, man yahdihi allahu fala mudillala, wa man yudlilhu fala hadiyala. I don't know Arabic, you don't know Arabic, so I'm afraid neither I nor you can comprehend the eloquence in this khutbah. We've become immune to it and that's about it. When he heard this, he said, laqad jama'na qamus al-bahr. Listen, people are saying, you are mad. After I heard this khutbah, I'm convinced I'm the mad one, not you. I'm convinced I'm the one with the nasty. Repeat this for me. Nabi alayhi salam repeated. He says, give me your hand, let me accept your faith. So this propaganda was happening. But what is happening today is the incorrect Islamic image which has been reflected by the so-called Muslim. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi had a non-Muslim Jewish neighbor. Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, kindness to your neighbor is not to give him gifts, but to be patient on his ill manners. That is kindness to your neighbor. So what happened was, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, a great scholar, he should display loyalty and faithfulness to his neighbor. The neighbor decided to sell his house, but he marketed it so high that he put it double the normal price. So people came to him and told him, such an exorbitant amount for your house, who will buy it? Why are you asking so much? He said, half the price is for the house and the other half is you'll have the privilege of being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. The other half is you'll be the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. Abdullah bin Mubarak heard that my Jewish neighbor cherishes my neighborhood so much. He said, Allah, I didn't know this man respects me so much. Allah, you give him iman. The next day he read kalima. The world is desperate. Allah's qasam, more desperate than the people in Africa are for food. The people in the Western world are desperate for morals and values. It's time we present this deen in beauty, and we will silence them. We reflect Islam in its pristine form. I have been saying this, I said it in Canada, and I've said it at various venues, and I seize this opportunity again. The bare minimum I ask this congregation and my sisters that are listening, that in this climate of hostility, if we cannot become ambassadors of truth, For Allah's sake, don't become obstacles of truth. If we cannot reflect Islam as Allah wants us, don't become an obstacle to this deen. This deen is too beautiful and it is too precious to Allah. Either promote it or move out, but don't become an obstacle. وَتَذُوقُ السُّوءَ بِمَا صَدَدْتُمْ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Allah says, you will suffer double punishment. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ زِدَنَاهُمْ عَذَابًا فَوْقَ الْعَذَابِ A double crime for those disbelievers who did not accept and became an obstacle for others from truth. So that is the major area of concern, that we reflect Islam in this pristine form. The ayat al-karima that I recited in the beginning, again, what does our understanding of this verse entail? This was that very same verse which attracted Aqsam ibn Sayfi radiallahu anhu into the fold of Islam. And Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu anhu says, I accepted Islam, but the beauty of Islam had not penetrated in the recesses of my heart. When I heard this verse, I was convinced this is the true faith. Now you ask an ordinary Muslim today, what does Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli mean? He will tell you the khutbah is over and namaz is starting. That is the general understanding of this. It's time to get up. Not the khutbah, it's time to get up. Generally when I'm speaking, I don't observe who's sleeping in the khutbah. But one Jummah I wasn't speaking, so then I was observing. I said, Ya Subhan, I never took note of this. How many people? What is the condition of the wudu then? What does Allah say in this verse? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ Allah commands three things and Allah forbids us against three things. One of the most comprehensive yet voluminous verses of the Quran. What are the three things that Allah commands? بِالْعَدْلْ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى Allah commands justice, Allah commands kindness, and to give the relatives their rights. And three things Allah makes unlawful and forbidden in a nutshell, immorality, sin, and oppression. Oppression, which is the opposite of justice, is so evil that Allah says in the Hadith Qudsi, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُ I was one day sitting and pondering over this hadith. What does Allah say? In essence, there's nothing that is forbidden for Allah and there's nothing that is compulsory for Allah. Allah is at liberty. لا يسألوا عما يفعل. But Allah says, out of my sheer mercy, I decided that I will make oppression forbidden for myself. So me who reserves the authority to do anything, even I won't oppress my servants, you don't ever oppress. Nothing is forbidden for Allah. And nothing is compulsory for Allah. But He's made certain things compulsory upon Himself. كَتَبَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ He's ordained kindness upon Himself. That is His choice. In the same way, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِ Out of my sheer mercy, I have made oppression forbidden upon myself. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا So don't be oppressive in any way. Tomorrow we will hear the completion of Bukhari Sharif and we conclude with the famous hadith and the verse of the Quran. باب قول الله تعالى ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة When the scales of justice will be brought and put forth before Allah. The scales of absolute justice. What is justice? The hadith of Tirmizi, the Sahabi comes to Nabi alayhi salam. O Nabi of Allah, I have some servants. Now I work with them, they work with me. Sometimes I snub them, sometimes I insult them. Sometimes they respond in a manner that provokes me. Tell me, how will Allah judge me and my servants on the day of Qiyamah? Again, we are working, we have so many staff. Has this ever crossed my mind? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will measure your disciplinary action against them in proportion to their crimes against you. فَإِنْ كَانَ عِقَابُكَ إِيَّاهُمْ بِقَدْرِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ كَانَ كَفَافًا لَا لَكَ وَلَا عَلَيْكَ If you have penalized your staff and your workers in proportion to the crimes they have committed, then this will be fair, no sin, no reward. However, if your disciplinary action and your penalizing them went beyond the crimes they perpetrated, then I'm afraid justice will be taken against you on behalf of your servants. The Quran says, إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا That on the day of Qiyamah there will be no master and slave. There'll be no boss and employer and employee, no ruler and subject. Everybody appears before Allah as a servant. The riwayat of Bukhari, يُجَاءُ بِبْنِ آدَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَأَنَّهُ بَذَجْ. The Prophet ﷺ says, man will appear before Allah like a lamb, like a small sheep. You know, a little innocent, that is how he will be standing before Allah. So you will appear as a servant before Allah. When this man reflected the crisis that will stay at him if he trespasses the limits of justice in interacting with his servants, then he said, O Nabi of Allah, maybe I release them and set them free. The Prophet ﷺ says, if you do that is better for yourself, you won't jeopardize your own akhirah. Abu Mas'ud Badri says, radiyallahu anhu, I was about to slap my slave. And the Prophet ﷺ came from the back and he screamed and said, Lallahu aqdaru alayka minka ala hadhal ghulam. Abu Mas'ud, Allah has more access over you than you have over the slave. Allah has more authority over you than you have over the slave. You think you reserve the authority to retrench? Wait when my Allah retrenches you. You think you in authority? Allah gave four dawahs, four commands came unto Qarun in relation to the wealth that he had. Four things. Many businessmen are sitting here. Let us look into our business. Are we discharging these obligations? وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. By virtue of your wealth, try and secure your akhirat for yourself. That's your primary concern. Through this money, through this contact, through this position Allah has given me, let me secure my akhirat. Number two, Islam is a faith. Who said Islam commands us to divorce this world? This is sheer absurdity. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Prosper in this world. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi said, لَوْلَا الدَّنَانِيرِ لَتَمَنْدَنَ بِنَا هَؤُلَا. If it wasn't for the wealth that we will acquire, these kings will abuse us. So وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share in this world. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And be kind to Allah's creation as Allah has been kind to you. So when he turns around, he sees the Nabi of Allah. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, huwa hurrun liwajhi Allah. Can I say I release the slave for the pleasure of Allah because of what I have done? So I serve, you know, as an atonement, I release him. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ama law lam taf'al lala fahatka an-nar. Well, if you will not do it, I doubt Jahannam will leave you. If you will not do that, I doubt Jahannam will leave you. The famous riwayat in Bukhari Sharif, first volume, that person says, I seen Abu Dharr bin Rabza in a place called Rabada, wa alayhi hullatun wa ala ghulamihi hulla. So Abu Dharr had a beautiful uniform and the slave had a beautiful uniform. You couldn't differentiate who was the master and the slave. So I asked Abu Dharr, what's the matter? Have you been demoted or has he been promoted? You know, you can't, we make a clear-cut distinction in everything that we do. There's a clear-cut distinction that everybody must know I'm the boss and he's the worker. The food he eats is different, the clothing he wears is different, the time he eats. And you find some people, Allah give hidayat, as if justice will not prevail in these matters. So they call the worker and they say, light up the barbecue. And the man comes and he lights up the barbecue and he prepares the food. He's a human and he has human sentiments. Won't the smoke also affect him and tempt him for that meal? You arrogantly tell him, put up the barbecue, bring the meat. Where's the cold rings? Now you get there, wait, when I'm finished, I'll call you. And what does the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam say? فَإِنَّهُ وَلِيَ عِلَاجَ. The one who put up the food for you, who went through the difficulties, and you have absolutely no concern, and arrogance upon arrogance, as if justice will not prevail in this matter. Our understanding of justice is, you know, when we talk of polygamy, no, you'll have to be fair to all your wives. As if justice is an exclusive feature to polygamy. And the first wife you can oppress. What did Qadi Imam Shabi say, Qadi Shuraih? رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ فَشُلَّتْ يَمِينِي حِينَ أَضْرِبُ زَيْنَبًا أَأَضْرِبُهَا مِنْ غَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ أَتَتْ بِهِ فَمَا الْعَدْلُ مِنِّي ضَرْبُ مَنْ لَيْسَ مُذْنِبًا فَزَيْنَبُ شَمْسٌ وَالنِّسَاءُ كَوَاكِبُ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ لَمْ تُبْدُ مِنْهُنَّ كَوْكَبًا. He says, رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ. I seen people abusing their wives. You know, in these marital conflicts, I often mention two things. That whatever the argument is, the wife needs to have the confidence and the satisfaction that my husband will not physically abuse me and he will not threaten me with divorce. If the woman can have the confidence of that, then the argument seems balanced. But if constantly she fears physical abuse, Nabi alayhi salam said, when those men, women came and complained that they are being abused, physically abused I'm talking of. Otherwise verbal abuse take place on both sides. There's an article that men are more on the receiving end now than the giving end. That's the thing that is happening. You know, while I was flying back from Canada now 2 days ago, so I was flying from Toronto to Amsterdam, so there was an elderly couple sitting next to me, elderly man and his wife, they were going on some holiday. And, you know, the cabin crew was sitting there, we're sitting at an emergency exit. So anyway, the elderly lady, she starts talking to this air hostess, and she asks her how long you're doing and where you've traveled. And then she tells her, listen, I give you advice, don't ever get married. So the old man looks at me and says, young man, looks like I failed. Looks like I failed. Look at what my wife is telling you. رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ فَشُلَّتْ يَمِينِي حِينَ أَضْرِبُ زَيْنَبًا أَأَضْرِبُهَا مِنْ غَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ أَتَتْ بِهِ. Do I hit her for a crime she hasn't committed? فَمَا الْعَدْلُ مِنِّي ضَرْبُ مَنْ لَيْسَ مُذْنِبًا. Then what justice can I claim when I've hit an innocent person? What justice can I claim when I've hit an innocent person? So Allah commands justice. The ulama say that this dunya will function efficiently if there are four types of people in this world. بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاء وَبِعَدْلِ الْأُمَرَاء وَبِصَخَاوَةِ الْأَغْنِيَاء وَبِدُعَاءِ الْفُقَرَاء. وَلَوْلَا الْعُلَمَاء لَهَلَكَ الْجُهَلَاء وَلَوْلَا صَخَاوَةُ الْأَغْنِيَاء لَهَلَكَ الْفُقَرَاء. The first is with the knowledge of the scholars. May Allah Ta'ala take this institution from strength to strength and give long life to all the ulama and the students that are studying. Indeed, it is to the blessings of these ulama that ignorant people like ourselves, we get covered. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi was asked, لو أن الله أوحى إليك أنك ميت العشية ما أنت صانع اليوم. If Allah had to tell you, hypothetically speaking, that this is the last day of your life, this is the morning, you won't see the evening, you have 5 hours left, in which action of deen would you like to engage yourself, knowing very well it's the last 5 hours of your day, for last 5 hours of your life? He says, أطلب فيه العلم. If I know I'm dying in 5 hours, immediately I'll get involved with some scholar and some kitab. I want the angel of death to visit me while I'm studying a kitab, while I'm acquiring the knowledge of deen in whatever form. بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاء, with the knowledge of the scholars. وَلَوْلَا الْعُلَمَاء لَهَلَكَ الْجُهَلَاء. If it isn't for the guidance and the advice and the scholars, then we know what would have happened to us, as the Prophet ﷺ has prophesied, a time will come where there will be a famine of ulama. There will be a shortage of ulama. People will become desperate to make ignorant people their leaders. اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَفْتَوْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Those evil people will exploit the leadership that will be given to them. They won't say, no, I'm not learned. No, they'll exploit it. They will exploit it and they will thrive on it. People are turning to me. فَفْتَوْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. The second one is بِسَخَاوَةِ الْأَغْنِيَاء, with the generosity of the wealthy. With the generosity of this wealth. This will happen together. When there will be generosity. You look at the generosity of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Safwan bin Umayyah, he looks at a herd of sheep that was with Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. So he admires it, he stares at it. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam tells him, يُعْجِبُكَ مَا تَرَى. Safwan, do you like what you see? He says, I love what I see, so nice, so much sheep. Nabi alayhi salam says, you can have it. Now look at the words he quoted, and I marvel at this here. He said, وَاللَّهِ مَا طَابَتْ نَفْسُ أَحَدٍ بِهَذَا إِلَّا نَفْسُ نَبِيٍّ. If you say, I can have the sheep, I'm convinced you're a prophet. It takes the heart of a prophet to be so kind and generous. It takes the heart of a Nabi to be so generous. So بِسَخَاوَةِ الْأَغْنِيَا, by the generosity. In Ruhul Ma'ani it is written, Samiri, Allah speaks about Samiri, the person who initiated the worship of the calf. The Quran speaks about him. قَالَ فَمَا خَطْبُكَ يَا سَامِرِ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked him that, what happened to you? What happened to you? What got into you that you started initiating this year? Now, you know, often today we find these advertisements, just do it. Just do it. And then, wanna flirt. And then, born free. These type of advertisements, just do it for the fun, for the buzz, for the thrill, for the kick, whatever they call it. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Samiri, what instigated you to initiate the worship of the calf? Samiri said the very same thing. وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. I just did it for the sake of doing it. For the buzz of doing it. That attitude of just to succumb to that evil force and to surrender to the dictates of your nafs leads a person to this extent. He had committed such a crime that because of that Bani Israel got divided. Musa alayhi salam admonished his brother and the Quran speaks about it. And then Musa alayhi salam cursed him. And cursed him in such a way that he became so sick, he had to walk around saying, La misas, don't touch. You touch me, I get sick and you get sick. In Ruhul Ma'ani it is written that Musa alayhi salam wanted to kill this person. And rightfully so, his crime justified him being killed. But Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, regardless of the crime he did, but he's a very generous person. Because of his generosity, I won't allow you to kill him. This is in Ruhul Ma'ani. Mufti Shafizab Rahmatullah has made mention of it in Ma'riful Quran and given the reference. That although this was his crime, but because of his generosity, وَبِالسَّخَاوَةِ الْأَغْنِيَا, and with the generosity of the wealthy, وَبِعَدْلِ الْأُمَرَا, and with justice of the governors. When there will be justice by the governors, then there will be pleasure in this world. وَلَوْلَا عَدْلُ الْأُمَرَا, and if justice is absent, if justice is not found, then people will abuse one another and devour one another, as we've seen what is happening in the world. وَبِدُعَاءِ الْفُقَرَىٰ, and by the supplication of the poor. وَلَوْلَا دُعَاءُ الْفُقَرَىٰ لَخَرَبَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. Every person of this ummah is valuable. The wealthy are valuable that they go to channel their wealth. The learned are valuable that they go to channel their funds. Those that are in power and leadership, they go to maintain justice. Let not the poor and the pauper feel is excluded. No, his supplication crowns all this year. And trust me, if you exclude his supplication, the skies and the earth both will be destroyed. Now when we look at the justice of Islam, then there's two things that are outstanding, which is not found anywhere else. Justice in its broad context is a thing that would attract any person with sane understanding belonging to any faith. But there's two elements in the justice of Islam that stands up very loud and clear. And that is the Quran says, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, that learn to be just even if you have to make a ruling against yourself. Even if you have to make a ruling against yourself, justice means that you must be ready to accept it. And that was the beauty of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. One person comes to Nabi alayhi salam, O Nabi of Allah, one day you hit me, so it's time I hit you back. Nabi alayhi salam said, come. Sahaba's eyes opened up. Then he said, O Nabi of Allah, my back was bare, your back is covered. Nabi alayhi salam lifts his blessed garment. Sahaba become emotional, and he comes charging towards Nabi alayhi salam, and he kisses the seal of prophethood. He says, O Nabi of Allah, I was waiting for this opportunity, and this was the only way I could use it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was open. If I hit you, hit me back. If your back was bare, my back is bare. Come forward and do. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. The famous incident that I quoted before you, the hadith, that Fatima Makhzumiyah stole, and then they came to Zayd radiallahu anhu to intercede. Now Zayd radiallahu anhu was very beloved to Nabi alayhi salam. First understand that. There's one riwayat in Tirmizi, that one day Zayd radiallahu anhu, the mucus of his nose was running. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went to clean his nose. Now obviously it takes love for you to clean the nose of a child. You do it for your own child and there's no ill feelings. But for any other person, it's not easy. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Oh Nabi of Allah, leave it, I'll do it. Nabi alayhi salam said, No, I love him, let me do it. I love Zayd, let me do it. So understand the position he's secured in the heart of Nabi alayhi salam. So they thought the best avenue was Zayd. So they said, let me go to Zayd radiallahu anhu. They speak to Zayd and they get him ready. He was a casual person. He would sit in the lap of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salam was reclining, he was sitting back. Zayd radiallahu anhu comes and he said, Oh Nabi of Allah, you know Fatima Makhzumiyah, a woman of high profile, poor woman got caught up and she fell a victim and she stole. I was just wondering if we can make some adjustments and some flexibility and some concession. فَتَلَوَّنَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. The riwayat of Bukhari, my Nabi alayhi salam's face turned pale. And he got up and he said, Ya Zayd, أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدِّم مِّن حُدُودِ اللَّهِ. Zayd, since when have you become so brave to intercede in the matters of Allah? وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. Let it be known to you, the matter is so critical. Justice in the deen of Allah. I swear by him in his control is my life, never mind your Fatima. If my Fatima steals, I'll cut her hands also. تَتَوَلَّوْا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. And this has to become a reality in our lives. Unfortunately, this is not a reality. We see in our marital conflicts. Now you bear me out. I'm not pointing fingers to anyone, but these things come to us daily. Give you a typical situation. You have a woman. So what she says, when her son-in-law buys for her daughter, mashallah, my son-in-law is such a nice person. You know, alhamdulillah, he sees to my daughter so nice. But when her son buys for her daughter-in-law, not nice to say, but ajna poirawo, shame, they've finished. This woman has finished my poor son up. Every day he has to run and he's buying this and he has to, you know, not nice to say, but the mothers of today, I don't know what they teach their daughters. My poor son is working so hard. When my son-in-law buys for my daughter, so nice, so kind, so loving, so care. I'm giving common examples because we relate to this. I'm giving common, you know, it is strange when man comes into power and authority, he becomes oblivious of his wrongs. He becomes oblivious of his wrongs. That is why it's always good to be in a position of authority and at the same time to be under someone else. So constantly you will match yourself. Otherwise man's nature is when he comes into authority, then unfortunately he forgets about it. Person sitting behind a post office, that's no, you know, high profile job, but just because he's behind the counter, now he pulls the shots. So the attitude, join the queue. My brother, you're not in an enviable job for to talk like that. You know, we're not envying you. We're here for work, man. We're not here because we envy your post. But that's authority. That's authority. Now, that is typical. What justice is this? If your son-in-law is good to do for your daughter, then let your son be good to do for his wife. But there it suits my interest. There it doesn't suit my interest. And then, you know, Allah inhe baklao hai, Allah inhe baklao hai. As if qiyamah, you know, will be for mother-in-law and daughter-in-laws. Everything will be resolved, undoubtedly. وَلَا تُذْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا وَلَا يُذْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. There will be no injustice. But we need to become just in our relation. We need to strike a balance. If we lean over in any way that we abuse, then we will be sinners in the eyes of Allah. Then the second command of justice in the Quran is, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. And no, safely we can say this is the beauty of Islam. Islam says, let not the enmity of any nation provoke you to injustice. Whatever enmity and differences you have, let sanity reign and let justice prevail. So even if we are dealing with the most hostile people and those that are our arch enemies, justice will prevail. The beautiful incident in the books of hadith in Bukhari of Khubayb radiyallahu anhu, subhanallah, an outstanding hadith. Every hadith is outstanding. Khubayb radiyallahu anhu kills Harith in the battle of Badr. So he comes to Mecca and Banu al-Harith, the sons of Harith, they purchase him and they are going to execute him. So one day while he was in the clan of Banu al-Harith, فَاسْتَعَارَ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْضِ بَنَاتِ الْحَارِثِ. He asked for a blade. He asked for a blade that, you know what, I just need a blade. So they give him a blade. He's a prisoner. He's a captive. We're going to kill him. Give him the blade. So they give him the blade. And he's got the blade in his hand. فَدَرَجَ بُنَيٌّ لَهَا وَهِيَ غَافِلَةٌ. The mother there was busy in the kitchen and the child ran and the child came and sat in the lap of this enemy of his. The child doesn't know this is my father's enemy. This man killed my father. Child doesn't know color. Child is not prejudiced. Child doesn't know that's a captive, that's a Muslim. It is us that make the children prejudiced. Child don't know color. Child will see a person. They are children, they'll play. They are children, they will play. So the child comes and sits down in the lap of Khubayb radiallahu anhu. And the blade is in Khubayb radiallahu anhu's hand. And then the mother comes out. فَفَزِعَتْ فَزْعًا. She starts panicking that my child is in the hand of this captive and he's got a blade in his hand. So subhanallah, he sends the panic on the face of this woman. So very calmly he looks at her and he said, أَتَخْشَيْنَ أَنْ أَقْتُلَهُ. Sister, you think I will vent my frustration on this innocent child? I'm afraid that's not the teachings my Nabi gave me. I know tomorrow you will murder me. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Let not the enmity of any nation provoke you to injustice. Khubayb knows that tomorrow this child's uncle will persecute me and execute me. The child is in his hands. He calmly tells the woman, this is an innocent child. We love children. We don't look at that the general command of Nabi alayhi salam was, a woman and child will not be killed. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, it comes in Ilaqatu al-Dawliya, the quotation of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. لَقَدْ كَانَتْ حَرْبُهُمْ لِإِتْمِنَانٍ عَلَىٰ أَمْرَيْنِ لَقَدْ كَانَتْ حَرْبُهُمْ لِإِتْمِنَانٍ عَلَىٰ أَمْرَيْنِ Whenever the Muslims fought, they fought for one of two reasons. Whenever the Muslims fought, they fought for one of two reasons. دِيَارُهُمْ مِنْ أَن تُغْزَى وَدِينُهُمْ مِنْ أَن يُطْمَسْ Either their land was invaded or their faith was trampled. That's the only times the Muslims stood up and defended their land and their faith. Otherwise, the Muslims never initiated war. فَإِنْ يَعْتَزَلُوكُمْ فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمْ فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا If they withdraw and they drop their weapons and they surrender to peace, فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا Allah has not given you any justified grounds to launch war against them. وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا If they surrender to peace, equally you must surrender to peace. These are the teachings of Islam. So he plays with the child. Subhanallah, what teachings? That woman says, وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُ أَسِيرًا مِثْلَ خُبَيْبٍ I swear by Allah, I've seen captives and prisoners. I haven't seen the likes of Khubayb. He's my child in his lap. And that's not all. He's eating off-season fruit. We that are free and are not slaves, we don't have the fruit that he's eating in shekels. And Khubayb used to say, إِنَّهُ لَرِزْقٌ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ This is sustenance my Allah gave me even in my shekels. So there is the second message of justice from the Quran. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا Then brothers, we see, you know, the justice of Islam, especially if we have to challenge someone in the present day democracy is very simple. Because the double standards of the present day democracy is before every person. The world chants the slogans of equality. We are not the ones that are chanting. We also believe in empowering women. But our definition of empowering is somehow different. So we don't believe liberating her in the commercial world is empowering her. We also, because empowering is a very polite term, it's a bright term, and we relate to this. Empowering for us is different. Empowering for us is not to bring her in the liberal world, in the commercial world, where she's an absolute commodity. We find the double standards in the democracy of the world is that they say that there must be gender equality. Yet it is an accepted fact that if a woman has the equal competence of a man, and she has the same qualification, she's not paid equally like a man. This is happening in their world. While they claim gender equality, yet they are prejudiced and they discriminate on the salary of the woman. So is she any less for the skills? She offers the same skills, she offers the same competence. The Quran is very beautiful in that regard. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ A male does that act of reward or a female, Allah says, I reward them both. In fact, we give women more rewards. So many times the women are given greater reward with less thing. That woman came and she complained to Nabi alayhi salam, أَنَوَافِدَةُ النِّسَاءِ إِلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَذَا الْجِهَادِ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ فَإِنْ أُصِيبُوا أُجِرُوا وَإِنْ قُتِلُوا كَانُوا أَحْيَاءً وَنَحْنُ مَعْشَرَ النِّسَاءِ نَقُومُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ ذَلِكَ I represent a delegation of women. This man, Allah has ordained jihad upon them. If they are injured, they are rewarded. If they are martyred, they go to paradise. We sustain them. We see to them, to their needs. What's our share of reward? Nabi alayhi salam said, أَبْلِغِي مَنْ لَقِيتِ مِنَ النِّسَىٰ أَنَّ تَاعَةَ الزَّوْجِ وَاعْتِرَافًا بِحَقِّهِ يَعْدِلُ ذَلِكَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْكُنَّ مَنْ يَفْعَلُهُ Tell those that have sent you, if they are faithful to their husbands, and they don't become an obstacle for them to come out in the path of Allah, they sit at home and enjoy the same rewards. They sit at home and enjoy the same reward. The justice of Islam is that anyone can speak. Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi makes mention of the riwayat in Nabi alayhi salam's Hajjatul Wada. He took all his azwaj mutahharat, his honorable consorts. And with him was Safiya radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha. So as they were moving, Aisha radiallahu anha's camel was very swift. And her luggage was very light. On the contrary, Safiya radiallahu anha's luggage was very heavy. كان متاع عائشة فيه خف ومتاع صفية فيه ثقل. And the luggage of Safiya radiallahu anha was heavy and her camel was very sluggish. So now look at the wisdom of Nabi alayhi salam. He didn't complain. You know, sometimes some people have, we must accommodate it. Person is coming out first time in the path of Allah. You say, bhai, you're going for 3 days or 3 years. Accommodate the man. He's coming out first time in the path of Allah. He's used to sleeping on soft beds. Aisha radiallahu anha has got a light bedding, Safiya radiallahu anha has got a heavy bedding. So Nabi alayhi salam, seeing that this is now, you know, slackening the movement of the entire caravan, so Nabi alayhi salam said, "Hawwilu mata'a Safiya ala jamali Aisha." Do me a favor, my sahaba, take Safiya's luggage and bedding and put it on Aisha's camel, and take Aisha radiallahu anha's luggage and put it on Safiya's camel. So the sahaba respond and they transfer the luggage. Aisha radiallahu anha didn't like the idea. So she says, "Ya ibadallah, ghalabatna hadhihi al-yahudiyyatu ala rasulillah." Oh, servants of Allah, once again this Yahudi Safiya, she got her way. Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi makes mention of it. Alamun Nisa is the kitab. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Aisha, inna mata'aki fihi khiffun wa mata'u Safiya fihi thiqlun. فحولنا متاعها على بعيرك ومتاعك على بعيرها." Aisha, your camel was swift, your luggage was light, her camel was slow, her luggage was heavy, we just shifted the luggage. ألست تزعم أنك نبي الله? But then you claim to say you're a prophet always. So Nabi alayhi salam said, "أو في شك أنت?" Why you doubt I'm a prophet? So she says, "فهلا عدلت?" فَهَلَّا عَدَلْتَ. If you're a prophet, where's justice? If you're a prophet, where's justice? Abu Bakr heard and he came. And he was about to slap her. Nabi alayhi salam held his hand. So he said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, أَوَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ مَا قَالَتْ." But look at how she's talking to you, Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Abu Bakr, you know when a woman is emotional, she doesn't know top from bottom and right from left. Oh Abu Bakr, when a woman is..." This is not the time. But look at Aisha could talk to the Nabi of Allah. أَوَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ مَا هَلَّا عَدَلْتْ. Openly she could challenge the Nabi of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ was so meticulous. According to one commentary in Tafsir Uthmani, it is written, تُرْجِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ مِنْهُنَّ وَتُؤْوِي إِلَيْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَمَنِ ابْتَغَيْتَ مِمَّنْ عَزَلْتَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ. ذلك أدنى أن تقر أعينهن ولا يحزن ويرضين بما آتيتهن كلهن. According to one commentary of the science, there's many tafasir. One tafsir suggests that Allah had exempted Nabi alayhi salam from maintaining stringent justice between his spouses, which was a divine privilege afforded to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Tafsir Uthmani it is written. However, the Nabi of Allah never opted for this justice, for this concession. Allah had exempted the Nabi of Allah. In other words, he did not have to exercise justice. Just as on Safar. On Safar, it was not that if you took this wife, the next time you have to take the other wife. That is not the ruling. Some women can travel, some cannot travel. Then what will happen if you take a one that doesn't travel? So there's adjustments there in Safar, it doesn't apply. So there was one explanation that Nabi alayhi salam was exempted. He was not compelled to apply justice between his spouses. However, he never opted for this concession and he remained totally just between his partners. He remained totally just between his partners. And in the end also he used to say, "Allah, I did it to the best of my ability between my spouses. فَلَا تُؤَخِذْنِي فِي مَا تَمْلِكُ وَلَا أَمْلِكُ." But my heart turns to Aisha. My heart turns to Aisha. So don't hold me responsible, O Allah, for that natural inclination that I have towards Aisha radiallahu anha. And subhanallah, the other wives, they enjoyed that closeness and they respected the position of Aisha radiallahu anha. I marvel at Safiya radiallahu anha in this regard. So, you know, just speaking briefly, that is adl. That is adl. May Allah ta'ala favor us with true adl in our lives, true justice in our life. The second thing is ihsan. My time is running short, but inshallah briefly I will just highlight few points. There is so much that can be said regarding ihsan. We all know and understand, and I guess we've heard it repeatedly, that the conquest of Makkah was the pinnacle manifestation of amnesty and pardon in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In various occasions of his life, forgiveness and pardon had come across. But the conquest of Makkah was the pinnacle manifestation. But today I share with you a few incidents. Perhaps you heard it. If not, this is the opportunity. In Sirat al-Mustafa, in the third part on page 41, Maulana Idris Kandalvi rahmatullahi makes mention of it and is given the hawala of this here. that when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Makkah, and he conquered Makkah, and then he gave a general issue of pardon, that everybody must be forgiven, we've heard it repeatedly. Thereafter he said 15 kuffar must be beheaded.
مَلْعُونِينَ أَيْنَمَا ثُقِفُوا أُخِذُوا وَقُتِّلُوا تَقْتِيلًا مَلْعُونِينَ أَيْنَمَا أُخِذُوا مَلْعُونِينَ أَيْنَمَا ثُقِفُوا أُخِذُوا وَقُتِّلُوا تَقْتِيلًا.
That wherever you find them, nab them and behead them. There were 15 kuffar that Nabi alayhi salam had said this. Now we can imagine what the crime was for the Prophet of Allah to order their killing at a time when his general pardon and amnesty had covered the most evil of criminals. The first person that is mentioned here was Abdullah bin Khattal. This person had first accepted Islam. And after accepting Islam, one day the Prophet ﷺ had dispatched him to go and receive some zakat. And with him he had one slave. So when he went to receive zakat, he told the slave, you prepare the food. Now a slave, he was tired, he got overpowered and he fell off to sleep. When Abdullah bin Khattal came, and he seen that the slave was sleeping, he was so angry, and he was in a fit of anger, he killed a man. This is anger. اتقوا الشريف إذا جاع. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, fear a noble man, when he's hungry, he loses his nobility. So imagine if the man is not noble and he's hungry, what will happen? That's a noble man. That's a noble man. In other words, he's got some common courtesy in him. The one who doesn't have common courtesy and he's hungry, what will happen at home? And that is exactly what happens. Mawlana Ibrahim Dewla Damat Barakatuh mentioned, a person comes home, the devil projects before him the flaws of his wife. So this wasn't done, that wasn't done. Number one, he was vulnerable in the environment in which he was. He abused his wife. So there's a natural hatred that is building in him because he was roaming his gaze around. He was roaming his gaze around. Uthman radiallahu anhu was giving a dars. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I decided to attend the dars of Uthman radiallahu anhu. فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ إِمْرَأَةٍ مِنْ غَيْرِ قَسْطٍ فِي الطَّرِيقِ. As I was walking, unintentionally, unwittingly, my gaze fell on a strange woman. And then I looked down and I came and I entered into the gathering. So Sayyidina Uthman just said, يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ وَآثَارُ الزِّنَا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Some of you are entering in the gathering and I can see zina dripping from the eyelids. So Anas radiallahu anhu said, I got up and I said, أَوَحْيٌ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Is the doors of wahi still open? That people can understand what is happening. So Uthman said, لا ولكن فراسة صادقة. It is not divine revelation, but it is the inspiration that Allah inspires. Unintentionally this had happened. So you come home, you're looking at strange woman. When you come home, naturally you hate your wife without reason. Simply because she doesn't match the woman on the street. The devil then depicts the flaws of the house. And then this is not right. And that now you are left at the mercy of your hunger. You are left at the mercy of your anger. You are hungry, you are tired. You have passion in you. How is the joy going to come in this house? Now again, how are we going to convince the world? We want to convince the world that we are a religion of peace and justice. When my domestic servant in my employment for 20 years, seen me fasting in Ramadan 20 years, seen me dressing like a Muslim, but one day did not ask me, boss or boss, what is Islam? And the most evil kafir, when he came in the Nabi of my, when he came in the masjid of my Nabi, Thumama, he was tied to the pillar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid. He says, when I walked into masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hated Muhammad the most. The second morning, Nabi alayhi salam looks at him and he says, Ma indaka ya Thumama. Thumama, what's up? What do you have? He says, In taqtul taqtul dha damin wa in tun'im tun'im ala shakir. He said, oh Muhammad, if you kill me, my blood will not be cheap. It will be avenged. My nation will revenge it. And if you forgive, trust me, your forgiveness will be appreciated. Nabi alayhi salam says, release him and let him go. He's released and he goes. He says, take me to a well. They take him to a well. He says, let me take ghusl. Take me back to this man. I want to embrace his faith. So the kafir says, when I walked into Masjid al-Nabawi, the face I hated the most was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third morning, the face I loved most was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my non-Muslim worker is working 20 years. He hasn't yet asked me, what does Allahu Akbar mean? Then I must ask myself, what Islam has I portrayed to this woman? She's in my house. She sees my salah. She sees my children going for masjid. She sees my Ramadan. She packs my clothing. She washes my dishes. She understands every facet of my life. That man was only exposed to the masjid environment. He was not even exposed to the social environment. But in 3 days he said, I love the face of Muhammad the most. So really, again, brothers, we must understand. It's easy for us to latch on and to say the media is hostile. But it is our actions that have contributed to the negative perception. Islam is a religion of justice and fairness. But our Muslims, until and unless our Islam will not become transformative and not merely informative, will convince no one on this beauty. We can chant slogans and we can take platforms and we can take podiums and we can scream till the cows come home, as they say. We can scream and yell. We win in no argument. We convince in no one. We convince in no one. Abdullah bin Khattal. So I'm talking about this year. You know, anger. What happens to a person in anger? Anyway, in that fit of anger, he kills this person. Now, when he kills this person, this is the pattern of the devil. When a person commits a crime, then the option of deen is tawbah. And if you resort more to the forces of the devil, then the option of the devil is now to commit another crime. That is the pattern of the devil. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The devil provokes you. He provokes you, he incites you. Do it, do it. I'm with you. All the way I'm with you. As soon as you commit the crime, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. He deserts you. Then he tells you, if you want me to be with you again, you promise you take the pill again. You pop the pill and I give you the same buzz again. That is the pattern of the devil. So what happens is now he feels that, you know what, I kill this man, the Prophet of Allah will take revenge. Let me become murtad and forsake my Islam. So he becomes murtad. So Qabil's argument, Allah accepted the sadaqah of Habil and refused that of Qabil. Now he gets more angry that why yours is accepted and not mine's. So now the option, Habil tells him, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Listen, I'm not there to judge, but Allah accepts if you have taqwa. So the option for him was to adopt taqwa, but that's not the option the devil gives you. The devil says, no, no, number one, he gets the more beautiful woman, then his sacrifice is accepted. I think the way out is, let me kill him. So the answer to your problem is another crime. So you're involved in a deep hole on interest, now you want to take, they say, no, no, take an interest now on your wife's name. Now take it on your wife's name. So the hole goes deeper and deeper and deeper. So what he does, he becomes murtad. And then he steals that sadaqah and he goes away. And then he had some slave girls. He incites them to sing vile poetry against Nabi alayhi salam. So they used to say the most vile poetry against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the most evil things. In fact, Abu Lahab also used to say the same thing, him and his wife. مُذَمَّمًا عَسَيْنَا أَمْرَهُ أَبَيْنَا دِينَهُ قَلَيْنَا. That Allah referred to him as Muhammad, they said Muzammam, the criticized one. Muzammaman asayna, we disobey him. Amrahu abayna, his matter we refuse. Deenahu qalayna, his religion we hate. These were the nasty things they used to say against Nabi alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wherever you see Abdullah bin Khattal, kill him. So Abdullah bin Khattal comes in the Kaaba. Sahaba say, according to the riwayat of Sirat Mustafa, that O Nabi of Allah Yazi, that is between Hajr al-Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim, Nabi alayhi salam said, behead him there. This man was beheaded between Hajr al-Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim. What an evil death. At such a blessed place, in such a situation, on the decree of Nabi alayhi salam, he was killed. Now what I want to speak is of the pardon of Nabi alayhi salam. Like this, there were many other people also that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said behead. Amongst them, one was Ikrama. Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said behead him. At the conquest of Makkah, Ikrama decides to flee from Makkah. His wife, Umm Harith bint Hakim, she accepts Islam. Ikrama comes, he gets onto the boards of boat, and he leaves Makkah. As he's sailing in the boat, there comes a storm. So he starts saying, Lat and Uzza, Lat and Uzza, Lat and Uzza. So they told him, hey, by here, your Lat and Uzza don't work. They say, there's no atheist on a sinking ship. Oh my God. Everybody has to turn to some power. وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ظَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّا وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ظَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّا فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. Allah says, when you're gripped in a calamity and a catastrophe, then you ideally forget all your other contexts and all your other images, and you only worship Allah. But then what Allah says, look at the complaint of the Quran. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. Allah says, I take you out of your financial crisis. I take you out of the ICU and I move you into the general ward. I release the warrant of arrest against you. And I take you to land, and I take you to shore, and I take you to safety. Then you forsake me. But that's not all. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. In my humble translation, this means, this is not the first time you've always done that with me. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. You've always done this. It's not the first time. This is your nature. This is how you are. I must barely release you. A person is driving. He sees, he's got music on. And then he sees an accident and he just sneaks out. And for a moment he loses his breath and he starts pulsating and he reads Durud Sharif. And after half an hour he owns the music again. Ya Subhan, Ya Subhan. And this is the greatest cry, Allah's Qasam. The other day we went to visit someone in a clinic and with me was my colleague. And as we walked out, I looked at him and it brought tears to both of our eyes. And I'm telling him, Maulana, you know, I have seen lot, you've seen lot. I've heard lot, you've heard lot. Allah alone knows how much our life we've seen in this time. But the tragedy is how short-lived our regret is. How short-lived our tawbah is. How temporary and how fake and how unstable our remorse is. You know, just give it to the next morning. Or give it one namaz. Or give it one temptation. And there goes it. How short-lived it is. And Sahaba say they seen one incident, thereafter that was the end of it. You see, when they pledged something, how faithful they were. When they made a azam on a thing, how they honored that. How diligently they complied to those sentiments. I guess my time limit is up. No, it's filling water, khair. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. So as he comes back to the shore, Umm Harith bint Hakim, she comes to the water. The wife of Ikramah. And as she was walking, the riwayat is in Hayat al-Sahaba, in the first volume. As she was walking, with her was her slave. So the slave started seducing her. And she had accepted Islam. So she was a very wise woman. She says, you know, just she was prolonging it and she was playing for time. Till she came to a locality where there were people. And she complained that this man has been stretching evil hands towards me. فَأَخَذُوهُ فَأَوْثَقُوهُ. They took him and they tied him up. And she went away from there to the water. And she went to receive her husband. And her husband just comes out and he was just, you know, sneaked a survival. So she comes to him and she says, oh my beloved, جِئْتُكَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَبَرِّ النَّاسِ وَأَوْصَلِ النَّاسِ وَخَيْرِ النَّاسِ. I've come to you from the noblest of humans. Believe me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of people. Don't destroy yourself. I promise you, he has extended his security to you. You look at the conquest of Makkah. Nabi alayhi salam was looking for excuses. So someone told him, Abu Sufyan is a bit of a prestigious man. You don't want to recognize him a bit more, O Nabi of Allah. You don't want to give him a bit of a show. Nabi Sassam said, Man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fahuwa amin. Yeah, we give him, make him happy. Listen, anybody take shelter by Abu Sufyan, he's in my amnesty. Man aghlaqa babahu fahuwa amin. You get in your house and shut your door, you are safe. Man alqa silahahu fahuwa amin. This is the riwayat of Hayatul Sahaba. You drop your weapons, you are safe. Man dakhala al-masjid fahuwa amin. You come in the masjid, you are safe. Nabi alayhi salam was just giving away safety. So anyway, he comes. As they are walking, she complains to her husband that, you know what? As I was walking, the slave intended evil with me. He had not yet accepted Islam. He went to him provoked by sentiments. That is ghairat. Ghairat is that human sentiments. And he killed him there and there. He says, you intend evil with my wife? And how sad. Today, Allah forgive, we've become possessive over our cars. You know, my car, don't touch it. Children, don't play here. What you doing? You know, the man is like patrolling his car. Then he's possessive over his phone. He's possessive over... And his woman folk is casual about. That's my wife. Nice to greet you. Ya Subhan. Do you introduce? Since when has this woman become possessive over the things of this world and casual about his woman? My Nabi said that the youth won't get the fragrance of Jannat. You know, possessive over his car, as the Quran says, وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ فَيَأْخُذَكُمْ عَذَابٌ قَرِيبٌ. That Salih alayhi salam said, don't touch this camel. Azab will come on you. Some people say that for the car. وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ فَيَأْخُذَكُمْ عَذَابٌ قَرِيبٌ. You literally see the way they come across. And with the women folk, they are casual. Since when has this ummah dropped its morals that it's introducing its women folk? Brothers, we need not to apologize. Let the world know. We are courteous, we are polite. The Quran told the wives of Nabi alayhi salam, how beautiful. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't sweeten your voice. وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. But when we're telling you not to sweeten your voice, we don't say be arrogant. We don't say be harsh. Be polite, but don't be seductive. Now we want to show that, no, we need to, I talk to this woman and I shake hands. Maulana, she mustn't think we are not sociable people. She need to, we Muslims are sociable. My brother, who you thrilling, you satisfying your nafs, man. Huh? And you want to show how sociable we are. Let's realize how much we tarnish in Islam. Allah's qasam, no nation has harmed our deen as much as we've harmed it. Nobody has set us back as much as we've set our own people back. I was now in Australia this year, so I was speaking with one brother, and then before I left, I told him two things. I gave him two advices. I said, listen, two things I'm going to tell you very frankly. Whole tour he stayed with me, he came for all the programs. I said, two commitments I want from you. One is your tongue is very loose and, you know, foul language, and that you'll have to call it off. Whatever it is in muhabbat, but I have to tell you. He said, no, you're right. No, you made it, it's a valid point. Inshallah, take my word. And the second time I told him this insurances and all this other things you got on your name, this interest and insurance, you got to cut it before I leave. You severe all this. So anyway, he says, Maulana, I do it in front of you. So he picks up the phone, he phones. He tells his son, make the call and cancel. Very big businessman. So the person on the opposite side asked, okay, look, I respect your choice, but the reason? He says, no, my faith doesn't permit me to do it. So that person asked, that means all my Muslim clientele will be leaving me now. Does it mean all my Muslim clientele will be leaving me now? Wallah, Allah has given us the strength, the economic power, the economic muscle. We can dictate. You boycott a product that is haram because it has the following ingredient. And they will bring in the market that which is, you know, can be consumed by Muslims. But unfortunately, we are casual and we are lax and we are the ones that eat everything. And everything goes. Anyway, Ummi Harith, Harith binti Hakim, she brings Ikrama radiallahu anhu. And she says, come. On the way, the riwayat of Hayatul Sahaba says, she then asked her husband that I want, he asked her, his wife, I want to have relation. Inshallah, brothers, just bear with me. I know you've been sitting so long, but inshallah, shortly. So, she says that, you know what, I don't mind, but I'm a Muslim and you're a kafir. We cannot have relation now. I'm a Muslim and you're a kafir. Now look at Nabi alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Then they want to thrill us with presidential pardon. Presidential pardon. I don't have the vocabulary to describe the pardon of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Believe me, no language has adequate vocabulary to transmit the words of Nabi alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, يَأْتِيكُمْ عِكْرَمَةُ مُؤْمِنًا فَلَا تَسُبُّوا أَبَاهُ يَأْتِيكُمْ عِكْرَمَةُ مُؤْمِنًا فَلَا تَسُبُّوا أَبَاهُ فَإِنَّ سَبَّ الْمَيِّتِ يُؤْذِي الْحَيِّ وَلَا يَبْلُغُ الْمَيِّتِ Listen, O my Sahaba, shortly Ikrama will be making his presence here. When he walks in, don't snub his father. Don't taunt his father. For verily, insulting the deceased offends the living. For verily, insulting the deceased offends the living. And it doesn't harm the deceased. But you're going to harm him. You're going to harm his relatives. Ikrama walks in. His wife is mutanakqiba, totally veiled, totally screened. And she comes and she sits before the Nabi of Allah. Ikrama says, my wife claims to say you've given me security. Nabi alayhi salam says, your partner is correct. I have given you security. Then he says, ila ma taj'u. What is your invitation? What is your message? So Nabi alayhi salam says, I invite to the oneness of Allah and that I am the prophet of Allah. He says, give me your hand. Nabi alayhi salam puts his hand and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then makes him take the shahada. Now, if you study the crimes that Ikrama had committed, he was just not the son of a kafir. That did not make him evil. That did not make him sinful. That his father had contributed against Islam. That wasn't the reason, the exclusive reason. He himself independently, how much wrong he had done to Islam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam made dua for him. And this dua makes me cry. In one word, what the Nabi of Allah said, he lifted his hands and he said, Allahumma ghfir lahu kulla adawatin adaniha. Allahumma ghfir lahu kulla adawatin adaniha. Wa kulla masirin sara fihi ila mawdi'in. Yuridu bithalika almasir itfa'a nurik. Wa ghfir lahu ma nala minni min irdin. Fi wajhi aw ana ghaibun anhu. Allah, forgive Ikrama every time he displayed hatred to me. Allah, forgive Ikrama every step he took to harm your deen. Allah, forgive Ikrama every time he insulted me in my presence or my absence. I have forgiven him, you also forgive him.
Ikrama stood up and he hugged Nabi alayhi salam. He said, it takes a Nabi to do this. This is the faith. Brothers, I leave you with my last incident. I ask myself, not that I can forgive my enemy, which my Nabi did. As an ustad, not that I claim anything. I wonder if I have the capacity that I can forgive a student who has insulted me, who has snubbed me, who has been raw to me, and has been rude to me. I might technically forgive him, but Allah alone knows what my heart harbors. Many mothers forgive their children, but Allah alone knows what their hearts harbor. Here the Nabi of Allah, not forgiving his blood, forgiving his enemy, and making dua for his forgiveness. I have forgiven you, and may Allah forgive you. And what we say, utanani maaf karo, ne Allah bhi tanani maaf kar hai. You hear these comments. I don't forgive you, and Allah won't forgive you. And what the hadith say, man dhaladhi yata'alla alayya. Those two people were arguing, and that one said, you, Allah will never forgive you. So Allah said, who's deciding for me? Who's deciding for me? The one that said he'll never be forgiven? The opposite, the one that is deciding for me, tell him I have destroyed all his good. And the other one who committed all the wrong, tell him I've pardoned all his wrong. They both must start fresh today. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَيَّ أَنِّي لَا أَغْفِرُ لِفُلَانِ Who's deciding for me, I won't forgive. That's Allah's decision, that's Allah's prerogative. Kindness, that is the Nabi of Allah. Allah, brothers, let us learn to forgive till we won't forgive. And this heart won't become clean. I was speaking to one of my colleagues today. I say one hadith we need to look at every day today. Nabi alayhi salam looked at Anas and he said, إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تُمْسِي وَتُصْبِحْ وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌّ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَافْعَلْ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ Anas, do me one favor. Monitor your heart morning and evening. If you can tell me there's no malice in your heart for any human on this earth, believe me, you have revived one of my noble practices. And if you've done that, then that is sufficient to say you love me. And if you love me, we walk together in Jannat. We walk together in Jannat. Now we see ghish. What ghish is in this heart? At-taqwa ha-huna wa ashara ila sadrihi thalatha marrat. I leave you with the last incident. Amongst the people, the Nabi of Allah said, you must kill on this occasion. This is kindness, adl and ihsan. In adl and justice, you demand your due and you give the due to others. Ihsan is, you give the due of others and you forfeit yours. You overlook yours, you leave yours to Allah. But you can't demand yours also and leave it to Allah. It doesn't work like that. You know, many of us, we try, and we tell them a mouthful, and then we don't work. Then say, no, I left it to Allah. No, no, my friend, you left it to your lawyers. You left it to your lawyers. You're not working right with your lawyers, so now you're saying, I left it to Allah. See, Abu Bakr was sitting with Nabi alayhi salam. Someone insulted him. Abu Bakr is silent. Then he insulted Abu Bakr again. Abu Bakr is silent. Then the person insulted the third time, so Abu Bakr retorted and said, same, you know, whatever to you. So Nabi alayhi salam stood up and he walked away. So Abu Bakr said, oh Nabi of Allah, I'm a human. The man told me twice, I kept quiet. The third time, am I not justified as a human to also defend my own honor? Nabi alayhi salam said, Abu Bakr, you were silent. Jibreel was answering on your behalf. You started speaking, Jibreel walked away. So I said, let me also walk away. Now you talk and Jibreel must talk. It doesn't work that way. You talk and Jibreel must talk. Somebody came and insulted Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, subhanallah. He said, my brother, if I am like what you said, then may Allah forgive me. And if I am not what you said, then may Allah forgive you. If I am what you said, then may Allah forgive me. That means I'm evil. And if I'm not that, then may Allah forgive you. How clean and clear. Today, I've said this many times. We, you know, like they say, wear the cap when it fits you. We like to latch on to praises. We enjoy praises. Somebody insults us, we get offended. Who said I'm dead? By you calling me a fool, it doesn't change the reality. I'm a human. Who said I'm a fool? When he insults you. But the next time when he sees you, mashallah, dressed very beautifully, he says, subhanallah, you look like a mufti. He make dua, it's all from Allah. What's from Allah? Last week you were a fool, it didn't change reality. But when I call, make dua, Allah accept. What must Allah accept? My lies or your lies? When I called you a fool, then who said I'm a fool? Same to you. Subhanallah, how did a Nabi respond? Somebody tells us, you evil. We say, you evil, your father's also evil, man. That's how we respond. How did a Nabi respond? Ya qawmi laysa bi dhalala. Ya qawmi laysa bi safaha.
ولكن رسول من رب العالمين.
They told the Nabi, you're mad. He said, my nation, I think you've made a mistake. I'm not mad. I'm the Nabi of Allah. He didn't say, you're mad, your father's mad.
Ya qawmi laysa bi safa.
Look at how a Nabi responds.
Ya qawmi laysa bi safaha.
Somebody comes and tells you, ulama are like this. What we'll say, you businessmen are like that. We brand a man, we cancel everything.
Ya qawmi laysa bi safaha.
Look at the tarteeb of a Nabi. Brothers, we're running out of time. So what happens amongst the people Nabi alayhi salam had commanded that must be killed? One was Habbar bin Aswad. Let me briefly tell you what was his crime. When Nabi alayhi salam's daughter Zainab radiallahu anha made hijrah, the riwayat is very long. Zainab radiallahu anha was Nabi alayhi salam's eldest daughter who was married to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi was the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija radiallahu anha's sister's son. And Khadija radiallahu anha made the offer to Nabi alayhi salam, why don't we get our Zainab married to Abu al-As? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised Abu al-As ibn Rabi, حَدَّثَنِي فَصَدَقَنِي وَوَعَدَنِي فَوَفَابِي. He's been a very loyal son-in-law. He's been a very faithful son-in-law. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised him very well. So when Nabi Alayhi Salaam made hijrat to Medina, and Zainab radiallahu anha, the eldest daughter of Nabi Alayhi Salaam, was making hijrat, and she was expecting. She was hamila. And as she was making hijrat, the kuffar seen it. And they said, you know what, there's the daughter of Muhammad going, let's harass her. Allahu Akbar. The opposition that came against Nabi alayhi salam came on every front. When Nabuwat came, then they came to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi and they said, Talliqha. Listen, your father-in-law has become a prophet. It's time you divorce his daughter now. Divorce his daughter and show him you got nothing to do with his faith. So Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi showed his loyalty at that stage. He said, Ma uhibbu anna li biha imra'atan min Quraysh. Wa innaka ta'alam an la taqata li bi an ufariqaha. He said, I swear by Allah, I wouldn't want my Zainab to be substituted by the most beautiful woman of Quraysh. My Zainab, I don't ever want to have her replaced. And the thought of separating from my Zainab is unimaginable. Never mind separating. The thought is, and Nabi alayhi salam appreciated when everybody opposed him and they provoked his son-in-law. They said, divorce this man's daughter. Divorce her. So he said, no, I got no reasons to divorce. Nabi alayhi salam respected him for that and praised him for that. When Zainab radiallahu anha was making hijrat, they said, there goes the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strike. So this person hurled himself from the rear, Habbar ibn Aswad, and he came with a spear, and I don't have the words and I don't know how to say it, but he struck that beloved body of Zainab radiallahu anha, which caused her to instantly fall and abort the fetus in her stomach, which was the grandchild of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came from the rear and he struck her. She fell and her child. My mothers and sisters are listening. We know today how sensitive a woman is, and they talk of postnatal depression and antenatal depression and I don't know how many depressions around the birth. And there's so many other complexities and what a woman goes through, and she has this unusual crave and so fragile and so much whatever. This is a woman making hijrat. Her father is in Medina. She's expecting that the challenge is upon her. And here comes a spear and hits her. She collapses. Her child is aborted. Her condition is such that it doesn't warrant her to resume her travel. She's returned back to Makkah, where she's stabilized with whatever medication is made available for her. But obviously all the more now she longs to go to Medina. And when her condition was somehow stable, not total recovery, then she is brought to Medina. She is brought to Medina. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam felt very hurt for her. And the very wound that she sustained in the journey of hijrat proved to be fatal and ultimately claimed her life when she came to Medina. She passed away. Nabi alayhi salam cried very profusely. It's a topic of its own and I don't want to digress. And he concluded by saying, Khayru banati usibat fiyya. The noblest of my daughters, she suffered greatly for my cause. She suffered greatly for my cause. Nabi alayhi salam himself lowered his Zainab into the qabr. On the conquest of Makkah, Nabi alayhi salam said, wherever you locate Habbar ibn Aswad, the murderer of my daughter, kill him and don't give him amnesty. My brothers, you tell me, the crime that was committed, if it was you and I, it would have justified his killing much longer than waiting till the conquest of Makkah. What pains and what emotions must have crossed the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. A man insults our daughter and we know we're ready to wage war against him. Habbar ibn Aswad. And the conquest of Makkah, he realizes his crime. He understands the enormity of what he did. How grave a crime he committed. The consequences are severe. But then someone told him, you know what? This man Muhammad is very kind. He's an embodiment of compassion. Why don't you try? Maybe he'll forgive you. Brothers, can words translate this here? The murderer of his daughter, his eldest daughter, every father has a passion to his eldest daughter, you know it. So Habbar ibn Aswad walks in the galaxy of Sahaba. Sahaba would draw their swords, their eyes turn up. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, wait, don't hasten. He says, O Nabi of Allah, la ta'jal alayya. Don't hasten, hear me out. Who? The murderer of his daughter. Again, I call upon my mother and I call upon my sister. You will be amazed to know what hatred today mother-in-laws harbor in their hearts and what they take in their graves. And then we want to claim Islam and we want to show justice when we can't forgive. And then one case we were involved in, and then the woman says, Mawlana sabar karo, sir, keklu sabar karo. How much sabr must I make? I said, this is what Nabi alayhi salam made. So she says, no, there's a limit to sabr. I said, that is a fabricated statement. There's no limit to sabr. Maybe I can't handle it, you can't handle it, but sabr is unending. It has no shore. Sabr has no shore. You look at this here and then you define. I'm not there to judge. He says, O Nabi of Allah, indeed I've committed a crime which justifies my instant murder. ثُمَّ ذَكَرْتُ صَفْحَتَكْ. Then I heard that you can overlook and you pardon. فَعْفُ عَمَّا سَلَفْ. I ask you, overlook the past and embrace me as a new individual. Nabi alayhi salam looks down. Can you imagine when he went down memory lane? If he sat there and he looked at Habbar and he thought of his Zainab and he thought of the child that would have been born from the stomach of Zainab, what memories came in front of him? What must have stared at him? And he just kept his gaze down and then he looked and he said, listen, my Sahaba, I have forgiven him. None of you must harass him. I have forgiven him. None of you must harass him. Wallah, humanity in its entirety cannot produce the likes of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who could rub shoulders with the murderer of his daughter. Allah's qasam, this ummah needs to now stand up. This ummah needs to stand up, and more than ever in this climate of hostility, when the night has darkened upon this ummah and the tunnel has become dark upon this ummah and the tragedy of the time has become the order of the day, you barely can hear good news. Such challenges have come on this ummah that has strained this ummah. Yet unfortunately we're not changing our lives. For me, the irony is not the tragedy, because that is the decree of Allah. That is, neither I can alter it nor you can alter it. It's painful, but it's not within our control. The irony is such are the calamities and such are the trials and such are the challenges. Yet this ummah does not heed the challenges. Yet this ummah, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَذَكَّرُونَ فَأَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He give us the ability that we imbibe within us both this quality of adl and ihsan, and we reflect Islam in its pristine and original form. I have often said this and I conclude with this here. Someone said it very beautifully. Life is so short, there isn't enough time to love. I don't know where people find time to hate. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.